Are we having fun yet? I like having fun. There are so many serious things that we do in the church, and faith is a serious business, but God also likes the laughter and us having fun, and so thank you for rolling with the punches this morning. And in camp ministry, if you haven't done camp ministry, there's a lot of rolling with the punches. What you're seeing is a lot of what a day at camp looks like, right, Phoebe? Do you miss Dr. Chad and Dr. Lucy? Yes, those were our characters at elementary camp, but will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My joy this Sunday comes that I'm not having to sweat in a robe. Yes, it'll be back next week, but 1 week off, y'all. But I wanted to start with a little bit of humor, completely unrelated to what we're doing, but I just thought they were stories that had to be shared of when kids say the darndest things, right? So the first one is, a pastor was speaking to a group of second graders about the resurrection of Jesus when one student asked, "What did Jesus say right after he came out of the grave?" Well, the pastor, being a pastor, explained that the Gospels don't tell us what he said. And the hand of one little girl shot up, and she says, "I know what he said. He said, ta-da!" Now, a woman invited some people to dinner. And at the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to share the blessing?" And the little girl replied, "I wouldn't know what to say." "Just say what you hear mommy say," the mother said. The little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" All right, last one. A small boy told a Sunday school teacher, "When you die, God takes care of you like your parents did when you were alive, only God doesn't yell at you all the time." No parents in here have ever yelled at their children, right? With that, I want to ask Miss Becky to come forward, and I'm going to have a little fun with her. So as we're talking about dynamic duos this morning, don't cheat. I want to see how many of the dynamic duos that I've come up with that you could think of what the second half of the duo is, okay?
Okay.
And Miss Becky, have I given you a hint on what any of these are?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay. I'll do my best.
I love that you don't think so. It's, well, did I tell you what they are or not? Okay.
No.
All right. So peanut butter and
jam.
And you can help her out if you want. Oreos and?
Milk.
Batman and?
Robin.
I didn't say Captain America.
Yes.
Sunrise and?
Sunset.
Lady and the?
Tramp.
You said tramp in church.
Lady the Tramp, it's Disney.
All right, on the same note, the fox and the? Makes you cry every time, right? All right, Romeo and?
Juliet.
Semi-related, hugs and?
Kisses?
Yeah, the chocolate ones, right? All right, last one, pen and?
Paper.
Good job. I thought anybody would say pencil, but pen and paper. All right, thank you very much, Miss Becky. You got them all. I think it's all because of your help that you got them all. But dynamic duos. There are these things that, as we just proved, that just naturally go together. Whether or not you like peanut butter and jelly, you know when there's peanut butter, there's gonna be jelly. Even if you're a peanut butter and honey person, or a peanut butter and Nutella person, or a nod to Elvis, peanut butter and bananas, or just peanut butter on its own. Pickles? Are you pregnant? Are you sure? She's sure. Peanut butter and pickles, ew. But there are these duos that we know that they just naturally fit and so oftentimes complete each other. Batman wouldn't be Batman without Robin. The sun cannot rise if the sun does not set. These things that are interrelated. And here this morning, we see that with the Bible story. And here's one of these things. We have the Christmas story and the power of Jesus being born, and the Easter story, the power of Jesus dying and resurrecting. And it's a complete story that weaves together with one another. But how often do we read the two stories together? It's like reading the first half of a book and then never reading the second half of the book, much like I too often do with our book club. Sorry, y'all. Life gets in the way. But this isn't life getting in the way that prevents us. It's just we never do it. The Christmas story and the Christmas season and all the great Christmas stuff happens in December and so oftentimes gets left in December. And the Easter story happens somewhere between March and April, depending on the moon cycle and when Passover is happening, and that's when we celebrate it. Santa, that would have been a good argument for you. At least we always know Christmas is on the 25th. Easter Bunny?
Consistency.
We need Google to help us of when Easter is. But we have the power of the Word becoming flesh. God to dwell with us in this messy, imperfect world. But the birth and its power comes because that child grew up, showed the power of what it means to truly follow God, to love one another, and to love God with everything that we've got, and then went through the powerful act of dying for us, defeating death, and rising to new life, telling us that we would do the same. It's a complete story that should be read together. The power of Jesus's entire life embedded into the greatest story ever told, the story of God's creation, God's love, God's grace, and God's time with us. Now here's the thing. What happens after the Easter story? After Jesus dies and resurrects, then it's a new power story, isn't it? Instead of the power of birth or the power of death or the power of resurrection, the power transfers to us, doesn't it? Then it becomes the power of all believers with the Holy Spirit within them and the miracles we do every day. Have you seen the miracles all around you? Have you seen God at work? Now it's one of those power duos where if we say God, then we should say us, or God and all believers, or God and the church, or God and the whole world. You see how that is? And just like the story, there's an absolute overcoming the impossible. You know, Mimi laughed when I asked her if she was pregnant, didn't she? But that's not unlike Sarah becoming pregnant. She was actually probably older than you. I'm not going to ask how old you are. 65? 55? 55. It's not unlike the miracle of Mary becoming pregnant through the Holy Spirit. It's not unlike any of the It's not unlike any of the stories of the miracles that Jesus performed. It's not unlike the power of resurrection. That same God, that same power, that same ability to make miracles happen where the world says it's impossible, happens through each one of us and God's Spirit that is within us. We are the story of Christmas and the story of Easter, all woven into one, the carnation of God and the power of resurrection, all right here. Well, in having our little fun, I found this story that I wanted to close us with before I give it back to the Easter Bunny and Santa. But H.A. Williams' book, Tensions, includes this. No wonder the Pharisees, who seem to have always been wholly serious, had to have Jesus put down. He couldn't be allowed to go on indefinitely, standing everything on its head and making their piety look ridiculous. Why, in the end, they might even laugh themselves, and that would be the ultimate catastrophe. Who in reality had ever witnessed a pious man blowing a trumpet before putting a pound note in the church box? And then there were camels going through the eyes of needles, not to mention camels being swallowed easily by those who choked when they swallowed a gnat. And worse, idlers who were given full pay, stewards who were successful cheats, spendthrift and debauched sons being feted on their return home. What had all this pernicious nonsense have to do with religion? But eternity had the last laugh after all. Here's Caiaphas and all his crowd, Pilate and Herod and all of theirs, sitting complacently in a state of grave and dignified self-congratulations. They have done their duty and justified the authority vested in them by efficiently disposing once and for all of a dangerous fool. He is safely dead. And with a solemn calm again restored, they can concentrate once more on the really serious matters to which their lives are dedicated. But behind their backs, without them having the slightest inkling of what was going on, the fool had popped up like a jack in the box and is dancing about even more vigorously than before and even more compellingly. People here and there and everywhere are falling under his spell. And if that isn't funny, nothing is. The resurrection is the supreme, the final, the ultimate joke. And since laughter, although not irresistible, is nonetheless highly contagious, perhaps the brass hats themselves will in time catch the disease, turn around, see the joke, and then laugh with the rest of creation because the kingdom of God has drawn near. Today we give praise and thanks to a God who would come and dwell with us in this messy world. And we give thanks for a God who would hang upon a cross for us only to laugh at death, popping back up with a surprise and saying, "Death cannot beat us. We have final victory." And so this morning, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, woven together as one of the most dynamic duos, glued by that of Christ Jesus. And so will you pray with me this morning as we give thanks? Gracious God, we give thanks for all of the times that you have laughed. Every time you laughed when one of us has said that's impossible and you knew better. We celebrate that you laughed when Herod thought he could get rid of Jesus. You laughed when Pontius Pilate said, "I could get him." and you laughed when all the world thought Jesus was gone forever. And so this morning we too laugh at death, knowing that death is not an end, that death is not a period on our sentence, but is simply a comma readying our story for the next chapter, our eternity with you. And so this morning we laugh too. We laugh and rejoice and give thanks for your story, Christ's story, and our story that is embedded with it. For this we pray in your holy name. Amen.